Welcome, councillors and officers and members of the gallery. Please be upstanding. We, the councillors of Hobsons Bay, recognise that we are privileged to serve a community enriched by diversity. We respect and value our community's backgrounds, customs and beliefs, and declare that we will always act impartially to the best of our skill and judgment. Through our deliberations and our conduct, we will uphold the council values to deliver outcomes that enhance the city of Hobsons Bay. I would like to acknowledge that we gathered on the traditional land of the Kulin Nation. We recognise the First Peoples relationship to this land and offer our respect to the elders past, present and emerging. Please be seated. This meeting is being recorded as a podcast and will be made available on the council website on Wednesday. This meeting is also being webcast live via the internet to enhance public access to the deliberations of council. Moving on to item two, which is the purpose of the meeting. The purpose of the meeting is to consider extending the delegations granted to the Chief Executive Officer within the proposed instrument of delegation, enabling more responsive decision making during the coronavirus pandemic in the event that Council is unable to maintain a quorum throughout the period of the state of emergency and associated impacts of the pandemic. The extension of these delegations would enable the organisation to maintain business continuity until Council is in a position to reconvene following the cessation of the state of emergency declared by the Premier of Victoria. Council notes that this special Council meeting has been expedited and the 7 days public notice has not been observed due to the urgent and extraordinary circumstances as a direct result of the coronavirus pandemic and the various directives issued by both the Commonwealth and Victorian governments, which are becoming incrementally more restrictive by the week. Moving on to apologies. Councillors, I'll seek if there are any apologies to be granted this evening.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move that we recognise the apologies from Councillor Gregg, Councillors Briffa and Councillor Altair.
Thank you, Councillor Marsden. Do I have a seconder?
Second.
Seconded by Councillor Hempel. All those in favour? It is carried. Moving on to disclosure of interests. Under the Local Government Act 1989, councillors are required to disclose conflicts of interest. Councillors, are there any conflicts of interest to be disclosed?
None from me, Madam Mayor.
No.
Thank you, councillors. Moving on to our item of business this evening, agenda item 5.1, is the Coronavirus State of Emergency CEO Delegations. I'll start by asking if there are any questions from councillors on this matter. Councillor Hempel.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have a couple of questions. The first is if we are past this as it is set down as the recommendation tonight, and in the unforeseen, how do we get around a unforeseen circumstance or potential unforeseen circumstance of the passing of the CEO? What positions could we put in place if we are unable to meet? We've got the CEO's got the emergency powers, but is unable to act on it because it's passed.
Incapacitated?
Well, incapacitated, but I don't want to put it crudely, but we have to face all sorts of circumstances.
Thank you, Councillor Hempel, and through you, Madam Mayor. In that scenario, and it's not dissimilar to any other scenario that exists, that our business continuity would make reference to what would happen in the event of that occurring. So as a result of that question and this meeting, we'll check the responses that are in place within our current business continuity plans, but at the same time, if they're not in place, we'll put them in place immediately if that instance did arise.
Thank you. The second question relates to a point on page 5 of our agenda. Under the discussion, there are 6 dot points. The last dot points about giving the CEO the ability, if we were unable to meet, to deal with planning scheme amendments. I'm pretty concerned about that. I think there's two fundamental documents that I don't think the CEO should, under any circumstances, be required to be involved in. And one is the budget, and the other one is planning schemes, because they're such strategic documents. If we pass this tonight, does this necessarily mean that you would be given the power, or is it just an interpretation that you would be given the power for planning scheme, tackle planning scheme amendments?
Thanks, Councillor Hempel, through you, Madam Mayor. In this scenario, the intent behind the delegation would be to ensure that where there has been momentum around specific planning schemes, that officers would be able to continue to progress the development of certain instances that may arise. In saying that, it's not the intent that would be utilised. It's really only to make sure that there can be some continuity where those schemes are requiring the opportunity to progress through the process. But it wouldn't be the intent that would be called upon, as it would primarily come through the council, assuming that council are able to meet.
I have a question that relates to the instrument of delegation, and noting in, where is it? In the appendix, under the instrument of delegation, point 2.2.1, the delegation comes into force immediately. The Comet Seal of the Council is affixed to this instrument of delegation. However, as the recommendation states, going back to our report and in the purpose, that if we're delegating the instrument, delegating the authority to the CEO in the circumstance if the council is unable to maintain the quorum throughout the period. So though it comes into effect immediately, it is only in the event that we can't have a quorum of the council to make decisions that the CEO would be using those delegations. Could you please clarify?
Thank you, Councillor Wilson, and through you, Madam Mayor. Absolutely. It's not our intent to utilise this delegation unless it's absolutely necessary. As with any decision, even in an ordinary circumstance, there are a number of decisions that come before the council because of the most appropriate thing to occur. What this does is ensure that should there need to be a decision made and council is unable to meet, that the delegation would be able to see us enact those decisions should they arise. But essentially, as your question related to enacting the delegation, we would be looking to utilise it only if necessary.
Councillor Hempel.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I do have another question in relation to the instrument of delegation, and that being under 2.4 in relation to Special Planning Committee. While it says that the Chief Executive Office has the delegated authority to make decisions on any matter to be MSC, it would not necessarily be you yourself as the CEO, would it? It would be, you might sub-delegate that to some person that might have be better qualified to make planning decisions.
Thank you, Councillor Hample, and through you, Madam Mayor. Absolutely, the intent would be that an appropriately qualified senior statutory planner would be allocated to providing advice and making decisions in relation to the enacting of specific planning permits. So this delegation is really allowing that to pass through to them.
Councillor Wilson.
A further question. Sorry for ping-ponging around like this, but it's an important issue. In terms of establishing a quorum for a meeting, at what point and how many times do you try for an attempt to get a quorum to determine that you do or you don't have a quorum?
So, thank you, Councillor Wilson, and through you, Madam Mayor. In relation to obtaining a quorum, in the ordinary course of events, we would be looking and working through our meeting procedure local law in relation to what actions we take in terms of if a quorum isn't able to be achieved, then what the circumstances that follow are. In saying that, I think there's probably scenarios within our current environment that relate to the different activities around shutdowns that are occurring through different stages of this pandemic, of which I'm not sure what they look like. So there may be scenarios that even if we can achieve a quorum that we're unable to meet for reasons that I'm unsure of at this point in time. But essentially, we'd be aiming to continue to meet as a council until that's not possible. But obviously, if a number of councillors are unable to make an ordinary council meeting, whether it's by self-selecting out of that meeting or whether it's by being unavailable to meet and that quorum couldn't be achieved, then we would work through the local law in terms of when the next available time to meet is.
For the purpose of this meeting and for anyone who may be interested, is it worth, as I've just gone to a meeting procedure and found the relevant section, is it worth having it stated for the purpose? I'll leave that with of understanding. Should I read it? If after 30 minutes, this is Division 2, Quorum, Section 28, if after 30 minutes of the scheduled starting time of any meeting or adjournment, a quorum cannot be obtained, those councillors present, or if there are no councillors present, the Chief Executive Officer, or in his or her absence, a senior officer, may adjourn the meeting for a period not exceeding 7 days from the date of the adjournment. If a council meeting is adjourned, the Chief Executive Officer must ensure that the agenda for such a meeting is identical to the agenda for the meeting which is deemed to have lapsed. And the Chief Executive Officer must give all councillors notice of the meeting, and every reasonable attempt shall be made to advise the public of the revised meeting date. I just think it might be useful having that stated, given that I asked the question, I could have answered it myself if I'd...
Thank you, Councillor Wilson. It's still a good question to ask, given the content of the instrument of delegation. Thank you. Councillor Marsden, you have any questions? No. Any additional questions, councillors? In that case, I'm seeking a mover for the recommendation that's before us on page 3.
Second.
Moved by Councillor Marsden.
Seconded
by Councillor Wilson. Thank you, Councillor Marsden.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is an important safety net in case of four of us falling ill, under the circumstances, it's not unlikely that some of us will get sick and be unable to attend council meetings, so it's a sensible precaution to take. If there are four people who are either ill or at risk of falling ill if the virus continues to ravage the community. And delegating further powers to the CEO, because we have to recognise that the CEO already has extensive powers under delegation already, this will mean that the council can continue to function at a time when it's very much needed by the community. These delegated powers will only be used when we can't make quorum, when it comes to powers over and above the previous delegated powers of the CEO. I believe that democracy ought to continue to function throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, no matter the circumstances. And to that end, I think the Local Government Act ought to be amended to allow virtual meetings during declared emergencies so that we can continue to operate as a council democratically and transparently. I think all parliaments should sit, federal, state as well. And as long as I can make a meeting, I pledge to come to the meetings, to make up the quorum in order to do what's necessary to keep this council going and to continue to provide services to the community. So much of what we do is essential to the well-being of the community. The four reasons that are given to go out of the house at the moment under level 3 restrictions issued by the Victorian government include shopping for what you need, including food and essential supplies, and that means a safe and well-maintained high street, medical care or compassionate needs, that means providing for the needs of doctors and allied health professionals within our borders. Exercise in compliance with the public gathering requirements is the third reason to go out. And on any day, particularly a nice day like today, you'll see lots of people walking their dogs, jogging, cycling and swimming. And this is essential. And if this is indeed to be the new normal, and I believe level 3 will continue for some time, absent a significant outbreak in the community, then people have to maintain good physical and mental health. The fourth requirement, work and study if you can't work or learn remotely, means that a lot of our citizens are still working and the economy in Hobsons Bay is still functioning. And therefore, the council has to be in a position to not only provide services, but to adapt to the changing circumstances and continue to provide support to the traders and to the community in keeping work and places of learning open. And to that end, I commend this motion to my fellow councillors as a prudent measure to ensure continuity in the case of general sickness among the councillor group. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Marsden. Councillor Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think that it goes without saying that we take our local governance responsibilities really seriously as councillors and even those who couldn't be with us tonight, because I think that in taking this step and understanding the constraints on communities and people, including elected councillors, there are certain acknowledged vulnerabilities. So that's a given, but we all take our elected responsibilities seriously. So that our questioning is by no means a way of suggesting that we have no trust in our senior management. We have extreme trust in our senior management to continue the necessary business of council, business continuity, and being able to perform the full duties of the council during any crisis, but particularly this one that's testing us, is what we plan for. So an instrument of delegation at this point in time is really important, not just for this council, but for councils, I'm sure, that they're being enacted right across the state, and if not the nation, in terms of ensuring good governance and that decision-making can continue. I just, in response to some of the questions raised by Councillor Hempel relating to planning schemes under that dot point in the report. They're not explicitly included in the recommendation, and I think that planning schemes, I tend to agree with Councillor Hempel that they should not be something that are considered, not lightly, because nothing is considered lightly, but to fall within that remit. But the instrument clearly sets conditions and limitations, and the other matter that was raised by Councillor Hempel was the budget, and of course that is an exclusion under 4.6 under the instrument of delegation. The CEO cannot prepare, adopt the budget or revise the budget under Part 6 of the Act, so that's covered, and most things are covered. It's a very tight schedule, and the limitations and conditions are very explicit, and I assume that this is available on the website for our community to peruse and to understand that it is only to be enacted in the event that we can't form that quorum at future meetings during this continuing period of the pandemic that puts us in this awkward situation. I think that's everything I wanted to say. Thank you.
Any other speakers? Councillor Hempel.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Yes, I think these are pretty extraordinary circumstances, and we're not doing this very lightly. We are doing this because, you know, potentially we could have stage 4 restrictions or other further restrictions that may or may not let us come into this chamber. And while, as Councillor Marsden says, that it might be if some of us fall sick, it's not only about falling sick, but also the risk that we might take in going into an environment which we could never be 100%, may never be 100% sure, is totally sanitised, and hence we may be putting our own selves at risk. I agree with my colleagues that essentially this is part of the inadequacy of the Local Government Act, and which has only just been passed by the State Parliament, and it should have been foreseen given the circumstances that have been around the world since December last year, that they could have put in place the capacity for councils to actually, rather than physically meet in a chamber, but have virtual meetings, as Councillor Marsden says. The New South Wales government, I believe, has put those sorts of situations in place. I'm going to support the delegated powers, but I also make it quite clear that I'm not comfortable with the CEO being involved in planning scheme amendments. I think, as similar to budget documents, the CEO should not be put in the position of approving budgets, and that is certainly not included in here. But I don't think on strategic documents like a planning scheme amendments that the CEO should be approving or being able to amend those sorts of documents. So I think I agree with, I think I've said everything. I agree with my colleagues that things could have been done a lot better, and I believe that there's some representations being made even today to from the mayors of the West to voice our concern about the situation where councillors are not able to meet and conduct the normal business of a council. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hempel. Councillor Marsden, would you like to go to a vote or close debate?
Madam Mayor, if I may just summarise the debate and recognise that it's unlikely we'll have 7 councillors at every meeting following this one due to the reasons given by both my fellow councillors not only the risk of illness, but also the understandable need for immune-compromised councillors to keep away from places of assembly such as this. And I think not having seven councillors will be workable, and we'll have to consider that as a consequence of operating within this COVID-19 pandemic. Both my fellow councillors made a point about the planning scheme amendment and how the CEO ought not to make major decisions on that basis, and I defer to their judgment. And when it comes to the CEO, I have great confidence in him and his executive team. We've observed them in action over the past year. They've done extraordinary things in a short time in very dynamic circumstances. And there's nothing more dynamic than a global pandemic. I'm comforted and grateful that we find ourselves in a position where we have not only a sound financial position, but an excellent and safe pair of hands to make those decisions if needed, should the worst come to pass and we can't meet as a council. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Marsden. I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour? It is carried. Thank you, councillors. And just to respond to the comment by Councillor Hempel that, yes, the mayors of the Western Region have been working together and will be making representation to local government minister, particularly around timeframes and pressures in regards to budget, and also the inability that may be forthcoming for and is already occurring on some councils not being able to achieve quorum by the requirement for meetings to be conducted in presence rather than in a virtual environment. So we look forward to a response to that. There are no other items of business this evening, so I will close the meeting at 6:35 p.m. Thank you all very much.